You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
Back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Faxon Childress and John Hight continues on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. Going to take a quick moment to tell you about our friends at Carolina Top Dressing. Folks, it's about to be football season. You want your kids playing in the front yard or the backyard, and you want luscious green grass. Carolina Top Dressing's the spot. CarolinaTopDressing.com. Free quote. Big Clemson fans, they are committed to serving the upstate, bringing golf course type practices to your home. Aeration, top dressing, dethatching, soil conditioning, mulch panning, whatever you need. They're going to have your lawn looking absolutely pristine. You can ask them about their fan favorite, latest top dressing amendment in Carolina Mix, or sign up for any of their turf services by visiting them online at www.carolinatopdressing.com. So, John, I've been using PFF for a lot of stuff this year. Again, it's not perfect, but it is a good barometer to kind of get a gauge as to how your team's performing. My guy Judah, who used to be a Clemson football player, he plugged me up with an account before the season. Been using that to pull a lot of data, so shout out to Judah. Really appreciate you if you're listening out there, my guy. But I'm sorting by pass blocking grade right now on PFF. Clemson is ranked 108th out of 136 qualifying teams in pass blocking. That is not a method to winning games. And if you remove the Troy game and just sort versus Power 4 competition, I'm going to say this into the microphone. I want everybody listening at home. Clemson is 127th of 136 qualifying teams against Power 4 competition pass blocking. 127th. The ninth worst team in the country against Power 4 competition. This is including Kent State, Central Michigan, New Mexico State. This is all 136 teams playing FBS football. Clemson is the ninth worst in pass blocking against Power 4 competition. And they're in the bottom 30 overall, including the Troy game. Their grading out last week is one of the worst individual grading games for an offensive line pass blocking that college football's seen in the last couple of seasons by a unit. So, again, the narrative that Cade was clean on Saturday, that is not true. If you want to take a couple instances and a couple screen grabs and plays where Cade was clean, I will give you that. I'm not saying that the guy's perfect or deserves to be defended, because he doesn't right now. He's playing like crap and needs to play better. But this is a culmination of failures by all units on the offense and all coaches in the building right now. And that's essentially what people are mad at Sweeney for what he said. That's essentially what he started everything with. Quarterbacks, he said yesterday, the only person he's pleased with is his punter. Read between the lines. He's telling you there's coaching issues on both sides of the ball. He's telling you that every position group has been underwhelming. You want to look at some more PFF data as to how Clemson has just been woefully underwhelming this year in multiple facets of the game. Let's look at pass rush grade. Clemson's defensive line that was billed to be one of the best in the country coming into the season with Parker and Woods and all those guys, they don't even crack the top 50 in rushing the passer. Coverage grade. We're told Avion Terrell's a first-round pick, and Ashton Hampton's going to do this and that. 90th. You're graded as 90th of 136 qualifying teams in the country right now through four games. So again, we want to blame Cade Klubnik and Dabo Swinney and Garrett Riley. Those are the big three. When things go wrong, you point your finger at the quarterback, you point your finger at the head coach, and you point your finger at the coordinators, and they take the brunt of the blame. I'll tell you right now, you ain't winning games being in the bottom 30 and bottom 10, respectively, nationally with pass blocking. It's going to be a long season if that continues, and you're going to end up Florida State from last year if you're protecting the quarterback at that level. Does he have progression issues? Yes. Are there coaching issues? Yes. Is there a quarterback problem? Currently, yes. But there is also a massive waving red flag of an issue on your offensive line up front that has to be fixed for this offense to take a step forward. Gervonta checks in. Gervonta, what's going on, brother? How we doing?
Good morning. Good morning. Go Tigers, man. How you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Okay. Everything going to be all right. I think everybody got a right to feel the way they want to feel, but I know the fans base that's bashing the coaches and bashing this and bashing that. What we got to realize is that we didn't go full throttle in the portal. all these other schools did that. It's going to be an advantage. And I know we want better results. We want them quicker. But we got to understand that at the same time that we got to keep things going, the momentum going, to try to keep the recruits on board. This thing can get uglier than it is. We need to keep some faith and keep some momentum going and try to rally to make a strong finish here. And we really don't know if this season is over with or not. I did hear the comment last night that Dabo said that we might not play for the national championship. Who knows? Why do you think we may not play for the national championship?
I think it's more of a math thing of, you know, where you're at right now at 1-3, having to win out to get in.
But I'm saying it's a lot of football left to be played. Am I correct?
Oh no, absolutely. No, the season is not over
right.
at all.
If we win the ACC, we'd be in the playoffs.
That is correct.
Yes. But you need, in all fairness, Gervonta, you need a minor miracle at this point to get. You're going to have to win out and receive
not
some
really.
Massive help. You've got two.
Not really.
You've got two conference losses.
We could be. I get that, but I'm saying Florida State can take two conferences on Georgia Tech. There's still a lot of football left. You in September. There's still a lot of football left to be played. But I think coming off that, go Tigers.
Appreciate you, Gervonta, 654 Roar. And I do really appreciate the positive perspective.
Yeah.
And listen, if we're talking talent level versus talent level, Clemson has more talent than every team remaining on their schedule, but you also had more talent than Syracuse, and you also had more talent than Georgia Tech, and the coaching and the execution has to be better for you to win any football games. I gave the ultimate grace going into the Syracuse game. I picked Clemson to win in blowout fashion because I was expecting Clemson to come off the bus, fired up, and ready to run through a freaking brick wall. I can't project effort, and that's why I'm having issues picking Clemson to win any of the games on their schedule.
I mean, same, absolutely. Right now, Clemson offensive lineman Colin Sadler is meeting with the media, and he said something pretty interesting. We're seeing Chapel Fowler, Grayson Mann, friends of the show, at this press conference transcribe this in real time. But I'm going to read a tweet from Chapel Fowler here 10 minutes ago. Clemson offensive lineman Colin Sadler says, "Yesterday's team meeting was the entire roster and Dabo Swinney. No other coaches were present. Sadler says it was helpful to have a personal moment between us and our head coach, and players got to speak clearly and directly to him." Sadler says multiple guys were speaking from their heart, described the meeting as a chance not to vent but to sort of express what was on our minds. Everyone has plays they want back, end quote. So the reason I read all that is there's a lot more that goes on in this program than what Dabo Swinney says in a teleconference or in Tiger Hour or his weekly press conference.
Also agree. And we're also set to hear from Garrett Riley here today as well, so that should be interesting. Let's get who's been waiting the longest. Da-da-da. Ricky from Spartanburg. Ricky, thanks for holding on, man. Sorry to make you wait.
Hey, it's all good. How are you guys doing today?
Doing well, man. Doing well. Very blessed and happy to be here on a Tuesday, man. Having fun with it.
All right. Good deal. I'm going to throw a little curveball and change it up and talk Auburn football. I've been an Auburn fan. I'm 56, and I've been an Auburn fan ever since I can remember. And I'm not going to get on here and say that the referees cost us that game because there's absolutely no way to know that.
Right.
They were horrendous.
Yeah.
By far, it's the worst officiating I think I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But that doesn't – what the refs didn't do was get 10 sacks against us.
Also
now,
true.
Some of that, I feel like Jackson Arnold held the ball a little too long on some of those plays. And some of it was – I mean, I guess I'm going to ask you guys, is our O-line that bad?
Yes.
But okay, I also think this is the best defensive front in the SEC.
Arkansas. We do. Defense is not the problem. We went toe-to-toe with a very good Oklahoma team in their house. That place was crazy. I'm still proud of the team because we were still in that game. With all that was going against us, 10 sacks, horrible officiating, we were still in position to come out on top of that game. I do. If our O-line is that bad, then we need to be in Arkansas helping Sam Pittman pack and get into Auburn, because I know as an offensive line coach, he was pretty doggone good in his day. I don't know if he still is, but we need to do something, because, I mean, we've got some big boys up there. And going into the season, I didn't hear anybody questioning our O-line being as bad as it seems to be.
Yeah, and listen, I do think – I will say this, Ricky. I've been pretty impressed with Auburn through four games. I thought the referees were horrendous in this game in Norman, whether it be the illegal substitution thing that that Oklahoma pulled for the touchdown, the fumble that I'm not sure how was overturned, which wiped 7 points off the board for the Auburn Tigers. And then on top of that, Cam Coleman legitimately had a hate crime committed on him on the field, and there was no whistle. I don't how on earth was that not PI? Cam Coleman's getting tackled in the middle of the air, right in front of the ref. Yeah. The ref is standing right there. So again, like, I was rooting for our friend of the program, Brett Venables. I was rooting for Oklahoma in this one, and I'm not a big Auburn fan. But at the end of the day, I am really of the opinion that Auburn got screwed in this one, man.
I kind of am too, but like I said, I'm still proud of the boys, and I still think we're going to beat Alabama, and that's really all that matters.
I'll be rooting for you against Bama, man. I'm rooting for Auburn in that one for certain.
I don't know that we've got anything for Georgia. I mean, we're good at home against both of them, I believe. So we got a shot to still make some noise. I think everything, all the goals that were set for the season are still ahead of us.
Yeah.
I don't think by any stretch of the imagination are we out of it for the SEC or anything like that. So War Eagle, and I'll say this too. I'm not a Clemson hater. I'm not a big Clemson fan. I guess I'm living here in South Carolina, so they are my South Carolina team. And the expectations of Clemson fans, the true fans, are as high as they are because of Dabo Swinney. So in my opinion, if you're thinking Dabo Swinney's the problem, I do not think he is at all. He's a great coach, and I hope he stays his whole life in Clemson, because if he doesn't, I feel like he's going to be in Alabama, and I don't want to see that.
Yeah, I can't blame you. Hey, Ricky, we appreciate the phone call. Best of luck this upcoming weekend in College Station. That's going to be a good one against Marcel Reed and those Aggies.
Yes, it will be. I appreciate it, guys. Y'all have a great day.
Of course, appreciate you, brother. Thanks, Ricky. 654 Roar. Let's get Dre in here real quick. Dre, good to hear from you. Hope you've been well.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How are y'all doing today?
Doing well, man. Very blessed. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm doing all right. I got my little comedic relief from the earlier caller, bro. Ain't no way there are Clemson fans out here who still think it's a shot. I'm like,
I don't get it. I'm a fan, bro. Like, you know, high hopes, you know. But, I mean, it's just too much that has to happen to get us in. And I just don't see any of that happening. I'm sorry. I mean, Haynes King is too much of a dog for Georgia Tech to drop enough for us to get in. I ain't going to say Florida State is like that again, but Florida State is all right. And honestly, I'm picking Miami to get their first ACC title this year. I mean, honestly, I just think they're the best team in ACC right now. I mean, there's no arguing about that.
You see those defensive linemen, Dre, they're pinning their ears. Reuben Bain is the highest graded player in the country right now. He's been unbelievable.
They are on go. Like, and I don't know what's funnier, watching them play or watching Michael Irvin on the sideline.
when he was rolling that thing last game, I was crying laughing, man. I don't know what.
Nobody loves Miami football more than Michael Irvin. I think that has been abundantly clear over the last few years.
I seen a meme on Facebook yesterday that said, your team might have a cool mascot, but they don't have a coked out Michael Irvin.
That is funny. Hey, Dre, we're going to let you exit on that note. Appreciate you checking into the program as always, brother.
Good job going, man.
Yes, sir. I'd be lying if I said that word funny. We're going to take a quick break here on the program. 654 Roar is the number if you want to check in. We're coming to Noah, Delvin, and JJ on the other side.
Did you know you can get paid to increase your home's comfort and efficiency? Contact Koala Insulation to see how to increase comfort and lower your energy bills by 20% on average. Right now, you can also get up to $1,050 in rebates from Duke Energy and get up to $1,200 in federal tax credits. The tax credits give homeowners 30% back in tax credits from their insulation upgrade, up to $1,200. But these tax incentives are expiring at the end of 2025 and will not return. Call Koala Insulation of Greenville at 864-867-1779 today to learn more.
Hey, 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 it's the Queen of Clean here at Royal Flush Toilet Rentals. Give us a call at 864-238-8800. We've got your portable toilet rentals, hand wash stations, luxury restroom toilet trailers, septic tank services, and holding tanks. So whenever you need to speak with the Queen of Clean, call Royal Flush at 864-238-8800.
At Ingles, we know that fresh means local. The best ingredients don't come from a world away. They come from your own backyard, which is why we rise to the challenge of providing the freshest items you'll find anywhere. Getting our foods from the farms we support, to the stores we love, to the tables you treasure. Ingles, we're with you every step of the way.
Jeff Gary here from Sit and Sleep Upstate Furniture Galleries. Bring your home to life at the Upstate's premier gallery of recliners, mattresses, sofas, and more. Our staff has a combined nearly century of experience and are ready to help get you the comfort you need. With the brand names you trust, like Tempur-Pedic, Stearns & Foster, Flexsteel, and more, plus special financing, it's never been easier. Life is short. Put your feet up at Sit and Sleep Upstate Furniture Galleries, Highway 123 Bypass in Easley.
Have you thought about creating an estate plan? Without a will or trust in place, the state will have control over your assets when you're gone. If this is something you haven't thought about yet, let the Green Law Firm help you plan for your future and your family's security. David and his team specialize in creating the best estate plans for you, including wills, trusts, powers of attorney, and end-of-life directives. Let Green Law Firm give you peace of mind knowing your legacy is protected. Call today at 86-427-1794 or visit greenlaw.legal for your free consultation.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go, and that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit engineersleep.com.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Live and local sports talk coming to you from the Upcountry Fiber Studios.
This is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar.
Serving the 5 counties of the South Carolina Upstate, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
105.5 and 97.5. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Welcome you back in, everybody. Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite continues right here on the Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you would like to check in. Texter gets in and says, did the Auburn O-line still grade better than Clemson's giving up 10 sacks? Yes. So if that says anything about the state of the pass protection and the narrative that Cade's been clean, which I just don't really even understand where that's stemming from. Again, there are snaps. There are instances, there are individual plays where the quarterback is clean and receiving adequate protection. And there are clear and undeniable quarterback issues in relation to processing, going through progressions, accuracy with the football, timing with the football, and getting the football out on time. But those also directly coincide with inadequate pass protection in front of them. Like, when you play an 11-on-11 sport, you have to be a well-oiled machine. And Cade Klubnik said a couple things in his press conference that I thought were accurate, and one of which was there were a couple plays that we had where we had 10 guys doing the right thing and one guy doing the wrong thing. And you know what? He's damn right when he says that. He is 100% correct. Because guess what? If Cade Klubnik, everybody wants to hyperfixate on the crack toss that he should have pitched to Randall, or everybody says he should have pitched to Randall, well, Cade made the right read. His guard wasn't in the right spot. And if his guard is in the right spot and wipes out that safety, Cade scores a touchdown and the whole dynamic of the game changes. Instead, his guard whiffs and is late to the spot, and you turn the ball over. And that's where we are. So, like, I get it. The quarterback play has been nowhere near good enough to win football games. But I do think he's taking the brunt of this when not all of it's entirely deserved. I think there is nowhere near enough of an emphasis being put on the poor pass protection, and I think people are running with some narratives about him being clean. And again, everybody's entitled to their own personal perspective and evaluation of the situation. I'm going to trust my eyes, and I'm going to trust the data that accompanies that, and it just is what it is. The pass protection isn't good enough, and the quarterback isn't good enough, and the coaching isn't good enough. All three. That's where I'm at. All three are a problem. So I'm always going to be somebody that tries to take a step back and properly assess where the blame of situations needs to be put. I think this is a mutual blame situation on offense. I think the play calling has been bad. I think the down and distance situational feel with play calling has been bad. I think the third and fourth down play calling, especially in short distance situations, has been atrocious. I think the quarterback play has been bad, and I think the offensive line play has been bad. You know who I think's been good? Adam Randall. The only bright spot on the offense outside of number 12 on the outside so far. And I would, listen, I know we've been critical of TJ Moore, and I think a lot of that's deserved from a body language perspective in the first couple weeks. Body language has been a lot better the last 2 weeks. The guy's still open and not getting hit. So I don't know what to tell you. If you want to 100% take accurate criticism of Cade Klubnik, go back and watch one on film. One's open. That's the biggest issue right here with Cade, is when he is clean, he's not finding one. And he's not going through his progressions and climbing in the pocket to try and find one. One is a game changer when he gets the football. He is. I know he hasn't had a great start to the season. I know we haven't been, elated with his attitude by any means. But that's an uber-talented player that needs the football and needs to be thrown the football when open. Noah in Spartanburg, 654 Roar. Noah, appreciate you checking in.
First things first, will the real Seminole Ted please stand up? I don't know who it's who. But with all the Clemson talk, I figured I was looking ahead to this weekend. We got a lot of good games. I mean, a lot of good games this weekend. How you feel about Georgia-Alabama?
Georgia-Alabama, I am conflicted as of right now. I'm going to go with Georgia. I trust Kirby. I trust the Dogs. That's just kind of a staple of my football belief. I think they're the better football team. It would be ignorant to ignore the fact that Alabama has not figured some things out offensively, albeit against inferior competition. And I got to admit and give credit where it's due, Ty Simpson's looked really good the last couple weeks. Again, it's been inferior competition, but he's slinging it right now. So I think this is going to be a game that's going to feature some points. I think Georgia's got some foundational issues on the defensive side of the ball. Their talent level isn't where it typically is. Their lines of scrimmage play isn't where it typically is. And they also essentially threw out me at left tackle against Tennessee and still found a way to win the game. So Georgia's got to get healthy, but I'm probably going to pick the Dogs in a close one to tie scoring.
And the defense for Georgia, I felt like as the further the game went along last week, the more locked in they got. I mean, occasionally they would get off track with, like, a random penalty, but, like, I feel like they really locked in the second half. Oregon, Penn State, I mean, that is going to be an absolute war. Am I crazy?
No, I don't think you're crazy at all.
Yeah, and then last one, I'll take your comments off the air. I hope y'all have a great rest of y'all's week. I'll probably call in on Thursday because it's game day. LSU Ole Miss, Lane's daughter comes out, publicly dating the linebacker. The man said take the over. I do what I'm told. The over will be taken, Lane. Let's rock. All right? I'll take the rest off the air.
Thank you, Noah. Yeah, man, listen – Lane Kiffin's freaking awesome, man. I'm sorry. It's just impossible to hate that guy. That guy is hilarious. You don't have to love him as a football coach or everything he says, but as far as like a personable human being, he is by far and away the most relatable human being we have that's under the microscope of being a P4 head coach. Is that fair to say, John? Like, he's just screwing around having fun with it at the end of the day.
At least online, yes.
At least online,
at least
yes.
Online.
Online, yeah. Emphasis on that. Let's get Delvin in here real quick. Delvin, good to hear from you. Thanks for waiting.
How you guys doing?
Doing well.
No, I was going to have to take a day off, call you guys, because I had a lot to say, but what you guys saying about some of the press conference today and the team meeting, I'm starting to ease up a little bit and starting to like what I'm hearing, you know, from the press conference, from people saying that basically taking accountability. You know, I'm glad I'm hearing that. It's a little too late, though, in my opinion, though, but I'm glad to hear that and see what they can do during this. Maybe in this bye week, they start to learn some things that can come out, you know. Get their heads on straight and start playing Clemson football. But I'm glad to hear about that meeting they had with Dabo and saying what they did wrong and all that stuff. Yeah, so I'm glad to hear that. And on to some good things. I don't know if it's a good thing, but what about your Braves? What about the Braves, man? On this winning streak, I think it's bittersweet for you. And then it could be worse for you. It could make Snicker want to come back.
Yeah, man. Unfortunately, this is exactly what I projected to happen about 3 months ago for the Braves, and I kind of knew we would end up here. John and I spent the whole offseason covering the Braves, and John will vouch for this. What I said the entire time is September's a cakewalk, and the Braves are going to go on a tear. You just need to tread water and stay around 500 to give yourself a chance. And unfortunately, the Braves fell to 20 games below 500. I think a lot of that was byproduct of injuries to the rotation. You also had your franchise third baseman and highest paid player who hasn't played the majority of the year. Acuna missed a lot of time. Strider missed a lot of time. And when he finally got back, he's been underwhelming. So this has been a disaster from an injury perspective for Atlanta, and I'm proud of the guys showing some fight down the stretch, in all honesty. It's been encouraging to watch. Matt Olson's been the best first baseman in baseball this year, irrefutable fact, by every data point under the sun. So the Braves are set in the infield for the foreseeable future if they can ink a contract extension with Hyosung Kim to play shortstop, and I'm excited about what next year could look like, provided there's a new manager.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Do you think they're going to make Snicker want to return? And let's stick you around with basketball. What do you think about the news with Bruce Pearl stepping down, his son taking over? And what do you think about Wofford hiring his head coach? Like, not in the interim, but as the main head coach. Kind of interesting these last 2 weeks, especially the situation at Wofford with players not being. NCAA had to come out and say, no, these players are not suspended and stuff. It's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, Delvin, we appreciate the phone call. Thanks for getting in,
yeah,
brother.
Yeah, thanks for my call.
654-ROAR if you want to check in. On the Bruce Pearl thing, I don't have a ton of information available as to like what I know there's like a political thing potentially with Bruce Pearl and he wants to take that route. What I will say is everyone claiming nepotism is going to look really stupid in about 4 months. I'm just going to say that right now. I think Bruce Pearl's son, based on all the sources I have in the industry, and there's a lot on the national scale, all the sources I have in Auburn on the plains, this guy knows ball. He's been their defensive coordinator the last 3 years. That's Auburn's mainstay as a program, is playing tough defense. He has got almost a better gauge of the NIL and portal situation than Bruce, given his young age and personability and relatability. I think this was the right hire for Auburn men's basketball. I get that when somebody's son takes over the job, or when there's something where there can be a nepotism angle, people are going to take that and run with it to the furthest degree. I think that people are going to be shut up very, very quickly in this instance with Stephen Pearl, and I'm excited for his opportunity to get the head job in Auburn, and I'm excited to watch Auburn play this season. I think they've got a really good team. John, your thoughts?
Was a little surprised when I saw it come across the timeline yesterday, but listen, if they feel like that Auburn, it seems like this reminded me of Tony Bennett a little bit when he left Virginia, kind of the timing-wise. I think they're much more set up for success this year than Virginia was when he walked away. But I think a lot of it was probably making sure that his son and other people on the staff had, you know, opportunities, and that they weren't going to lose their jobs if he would have left, you know, at the end of the season.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of truth and a lot of fairness to that. Let's get Tom the Buckeye in here. Goodness. And then we're going to Will in Clemson. Tom, good to hear from you.
Hey, good to talk to you guys. Actually, I'm on my way to Atlanta to see the Braves in the next couple of days.
Hey, man, you're picking a great time. They're on a heater right now.
Yeah, well, I'm just going down. Actually, I think I've told you this before. My nephew played high school baseball with Waldrop and yep. is actually a very good friend of his. And so they're coming up from Thomasville. We're all going to the game today, and then I'm staying over with a buddy tomorrow. But the reason I called is I want to get your take on, I don't know if you guys watch any of the interviews with Cignetti at Indiana. Yes. That guy is hysterical, absolutely hysterical, and a great football coach.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, there was one that he pulled this year in the Big Ten meetings. One of the Big Ten guys asked him, you know, hey, coach, what's your secret sauce in, you know, getting all these transfers in, and how do you get them to work out? And his answer was, well, if I told you what my secret sauce was, I guess it wouldn't be secret anymore, would it? And that was it. I mean, he just cut him off like that. And his interviews, what he's done at Indiana, and I know they got two huge games coming up, and I'm going to make a prediction. They play at Oregon, and they play at Penn State. I think they pull off one of those two games. That's how much I believe in Indiana.
Yeah.
They lost two games last year.
Yep.
At Notre Dame and at Ohio State. He's got to figure out how to do this on the road. But they destroyed Illinois. Absolutely destroyed them.
Yeah, it was a beatdown. And you know what, Tom? I might take it a step further. I think there's a chance Indiana's the best team in the Big Ten. And I think there's a chance Indiana wins this league this year and beats both of those guys. And I know the game's on the road. And listen, people have a very revisionist history of the way that things transpired last year for Indiana football, okay? Number one, their quarterback marched into Columbus playing on a torn ACL, which just completely gets thrown out the window for what people are remembering last year in Curtis Rourke. And then they went to Notre Dame, a team that many regarded as having the best lines of scrimmage play in the country, and they rode those lines of scrimmage all the way en route to the national championship game. And Indiana didn't just hang in the game. They pushed Notre Dame to the brink, man. They pushed Notre Dame to the brink. I know they made it look a little closer than many may anticipate in the fourth quarter. They get the onside, whatever it may be. But their lines of scrimmage hung tough in that game. And when you look at the total yardage, they didn't get punked. They didn't get punked, man. They averaged just as many yards per pass. The big issue in that one was that their run game couldn't match Jeremiah Love, and I think that had more to do with the running back and the interior offensive line than anything. But Indiana's offensive line is loaded. Mendoza is significantly better than Rourke, and he's the second in Heisman odds right now. Tom, I'm all in with Cignetti. I'm all in with the Hoosiers. I agree with your assessment wholeheartedly. I think this is a better football team pound for pound than Oregon, and I think that the Penn State matchup is also winnable. I don't go into any Indiana football game thinking this is a guaranteed loss. I'm giving them a chance in every game they've got the rest of the way.
I agree, and let's even take the Ohio State game last year. They flubbed a punt. The
yep.
punter dropped the ball. Ohio State got the ball, and then Smith ran back a punt for a touchdown.
Yep.
You take those two off the board, and it's a game.
Agreed. Yep, and they had 68 passing yards in that game with Rourke, and that was the big thing, was they couldn't get the run game going, and they couldn't get the pass game going with the offense, but the special teams blunders put them in a hole, and then they had a quarterback on a torn ACL trying to throw them back into the game, and that's a recipe for disaster. Maybe I am missing something here. Maybe we're both going to be wrong, Tom, here in a couple weeks, but I am all in on this Indiana football team. I picked them to win big last week over Illinois for a reason, because I believe in what Cignetti is doing, and I don't think people are giving the man enough credit from a roster construction standpoint. This guy has overhauled the trajectory of a program overnight. He is bringing in greatly talented players on both sides of the ball. The lines of scrimmage play are more than adequate. The skill position players have been decent, and then the quarterback evaluations have hit in the portal back-to-back cycles. Cignetti deserves an immense amount of credit for what's going on in Bloomington.
Okay. I just want to get your thoughts on it. That's where I'm at.
For sure. Hey, Tom, appreciate you checking in. Safe travels to Atlanta, and enjoy the ball games this weekend, my man. Tell Waldrop all I right. said hello. That kid's a stud.
Yep, okay.
Thank you, Tom. Later.
And a reminder of those Atlanta Braves, we are still an affiliate of the Atlanta Braves, and tonight you can hear the Atlanta Braves on these airwaves. We will join the pregame show in progress at the conclusion of Road Rage with a 7:15 first pitch for the Atlanta Braves this evening.
Yeah, the Braves aren't losing again this season.
You're playing the Pirates this weekend.
We are. We got the Nats and the Pirates back-to-back, and like this is also just the most Braves thing ever to get to 79-83 and annoyingly out of the playoffs. So kind of ending how I anticipated, but again, there are positives. Acuña comes back from a massive knee injury and went through a major slump and is still like the seventh best hitter in baseball. And Matt Olson's been the best first baseman in baseball. Ha-Sung Kim. It feels like you figured out something at shortstop. You're going to have to evaluate the financial situation and landscape there in the offseason. I think the right decision at this juncture is just to accept the Ozzie Albies option. I don't think it's worth cutting the guy for $3 million in the grand scheme of things. You're not going to do better. He's a clubhouse guy. Just roll Ozzie out there at short again next year and find a way to get Ozuna out of town so you can go Murphy Baldwin, because if there's one thing I got right in the preseason on the Braves, and there were a lot looking back on it, Drake Baldwin is a freaking rock star. That's my rookie of the year right there, man. He needs to be playing every day next year. All right, 654-ROAR is the number if you guys want to get in. We're going to take Will and Clemson's phone call to start off the final segment. If you want to beat the buzzer, feel free to check in.
You can feel it in the air. Football is back, and the best place to make picks and win money all season long is Underdog. It is one of my favorite ways to enjoy a night of sports. Just pick whether your favorite players are going higher or lower on stats like touchdowns, rushing yards, interceptions, things like that. If you get your picks right, you can win up to 5,000 times your money, and you only need $1 to play. That's it. As little as a dollar. It's that simple. I love playing Underdog with baseball. I love it with basketball. Football, man, football is the best. Download the app today and sign up with promo code OOB to score $50 in bonus funds when you play your first $5. That's promo code OOB. Millions of fans have already won billions making picks on Underdog. Will you be next? Underdog. Make picks, win money. Must be 18+ and present in South Carolina. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play-and-get-terms_DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
Straight Up Sports is simply all sports all the time. Straight Up Sports is a collection of retired and award-winning sports writers and sports broadcasters from around South Carolina. Like Bob Gillespie from the State Newspaper, Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News, and Mark Sturges from ESPN Upstate. Straight Up Sports is about the stories, just like the days gone by with no editors nor managers involved. Check us out on Facebook or Twitter or online at straightupsports.net.
A car accident can change everything in seconds. Don't let the insurance companies decide what your case is worth. At Smith Jordan Law Firm, we stand up for accident victims, fighting for the compensation you need to recover and move forward. Call Smith Jordan Law Firm today at 864-343-2222 or visit smithjordan.com. Your consultation is free. Smith Jordan Law. We are local attorneys with a proven track record.
Have you heard the phrase, the calm before the storm? Well, that mold in your bathroom or ceiling stains might be a warning sign of roof damage that could cause bigger, costly issues in the future. Give yourself peace of mind, knowing your roof's got you covered with the best protection throughout all of the seasons. Don't ignore it any longer. Fix it with one simple call today. Adams & Co. Roofing Specialists, 260-0080. Adams & Co. Roofing Specialists, 260-0080.
Are low T and ED ruining your life? Low Country Male is your solution to getting that alpha feeling back. Sitting on the couch, not acceptable. We're going to get you back in the gym and get you back in the game of life. Come on down to Low Country Male today. Get your testosterone checked and start a personalized concierge TRT plan. Plans include testosterone, lab work, annual physicals, doctor visits, and much more. Book at one of our 8 locations. Low Country Male, making men men again since 2016. LowCountryMale.com.
Some sandwiches are forgettable. This one, it's unforgettable. Meet the Ultimate Italian, a flavor-packed masterpiece with bacon, parmesan, salami, capicola, and ham, all toasted to perfection. Every bite, pure magic. When a sandwich is this good, you don't just eat it, you talk about it. Try the Ultimate Italian, now toasted, only at Jimmy John's.
We're here, Eric Snyder, Snyder Tree Care. I always think about your company being a residential tree and shrub company, but from a commercial standpoint, you guys do a great job there as well, right, Eric?
We found that trees don't care where they grow. You know, if it's at your house or if it's at your business, they're still a tree, and we love trees. We love shrubs. In fact, you know, we are the tree care company for Clemson University. So, yeah, we do a lot of commercial work. Big properties, small properties. You can find us on the web at SnyderTree.com.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Hey Clemson family, I'm Jeff Scott, former assistant coach and proud member of 2 national championship teams. Success on the football field takes teamwork, vision, and a great game plan. I partnered with fellow Clemson alum Eric Newton to create Newton Scott & Associates. From Tigertown to Lake Kiwi, we're your championship team, here to help you buy, sell, or build. When it's time to make your next move, trust the winning team, Newton Scott & Associates. Real estate, the Clemson way. Visit us at newtonscottsc.com.
So you've decided you want to have your garage floor professionally coated, but with so many companies to choose from, who should you hire? For nearly 15 years, Iron Drive Floor Coatings has installed the highest quality concrete coatings all over the upstate. With over 1 million square feet installed and the most 5-star reviews in our industry, our guarantees stand strong. Don't trust just anybody to coat your garage floor. Trust the company with a proven track record of quality work. Get a free quote today at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Tuning in from the car?
Flips it for the touchdown!
Stay connected to the Roar after you run your errands using our app or website. Download the Roar app on your phone by searching WCCP-FM The Roar in the App Store. Or tune in on our website, theroarfm.com/listen. Kick it!
Final segment of the program. Facts and Childress, John Hight, continuing with Facts on Sports here on 105.5, 97.5. The Roar, folks. Fall is here. So is the Roar's annual flagship charity fundraiser. You guys all know that October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and we're asking you to help us make a big difference. The Tigers for Tata's kickoff show is happening Wednesday, October 1st at Trammell and Mills Law Firm. You can come by at 1650A, 1650A East Street, Greenville and Anderson. Get a wristband, get a t-shirt. Proceeds benefit Dabo and Kathleen Sweeney's All-In Foundation for Breast Cancer Research. Plus, Ernie Trammell and Trey Mills are both cancer survivors, so this is personal to the folks at Trammell and Mills Law Firm. The Mickey Plyler Show will be live from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. on the 1st. You can get coffee and donuts, and then John and I are taking over. You can get Skim's hot dogs. This event was a massive hit last year. You guys showed up in the community early and often. I remember Seminole Ted pulling up on his Boneyard Cycles motorcycle. He had some crazy aura in his leather jacket. I got to give Ted credit. That's his win of the day here. But in all seriousness, stop by, say hi, buy a Tigers for Tata's wristband or shirt, and support breast cancer research. Do your part to support early detection and prevention of breast cancer through Dabo and Kathleen's All-In Team Foundation, Wednesday, October 1st. Together, we can make a difference in the fight against breast cancer. Looking forward to Tigers for Tatas, as always, John, especially for our program. Let's get Will and Clemson in here on the phone lines. Will, thanks for waiting. Glad to have you on the show.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Of course. What do you want to get in and talk about?
Can't let you off the hook for last week. I know you picked Florida over Miami, but I'll let that slide.
Nah, I don't deserve to be let off the hook, man. I don't deserve to be let off the hook. I'm going to own my L here. I don't know what I saw on the LSU game that decided to back DJ Lagway in a football game, but I feel bad for the Florida defense because I actually think that's like a top five defense in the country, and they just have a worse offense than even Clemson right now. So free the Florida defense is all I have to say to that.
Yeah, absolutely. But I just want to preface my question with, you know, I'm 19 years old. I've been a Clemson fan my whole life, but just recently I've noticed almost like a culture change within the group and the attitudes. I know you were talking about body language earlier with some guys, but I hear, you know, Dabo or Peter Woods talking in postgame about how one word to describe the team would just be fight and their fighting attitude. But I don't know if I'm seeing that week in and out. So, you know, they say just scrap it, move on to the next. But I feel like teams in the past, the mindset was almost, we can't afford a loss. You know, we got to go out and win every week. So I would just like to say, do you see this as an issue? And if so, when do you think it started?
I think that's an interesting question, Will. And I don't think that you're entirely off base with your analysis. I think it's fair to question the culture right now for Clemson football. And I think a part of that is, you know, the dollar signs that are being thrown around. A part of that is just general societal culture in 2025 with these student athletes and the professionalization and commercialization of college athletics. And to be honest with you, I don't know how to turn it around. I wish I had more answers for you, but I look at a team like Florida State, right? And 2 years ago, they go 13-0 and all these portal kids hit and they've got got this great culture with this great leader, allegedly, with Jordan Travis, right? And the team's rallying around him and everything's great. And then they bring in this next class of portal kids and they go 2-10 and the locker room blows up to smithereens. Then they run it back this year with Tommy Castellanos, who was deemed a cancer that got essentially blackballed out of Boston College. And now here we are as they're the 7th-ranked team in the country with the best offense in the history of college football through 3 games by a ton of different metrics and data points. And the locker room seems to love Tommy Castellanos. So I think a lot of this is just human element and human factor. And I think that's pretty difficult to project. And it's unfortunate for Clemson because you're right. This is the first time in my life I've ever had culture issues or culture questions, rather, of whether that could be an issue or not over in the building. And I don't think it's on Sweeney. I don't think it's on Sweeney. I just think it's the byproduct of the NIL landscape and what college football is in 2025, in all honesty.
Yeah, absolutely. So I know Cade, I don't know if you heard it, but he mentioned having the right ingredients but not baking the cake. Do you see us as having the right ingredients or not?
No. Just to be completely honest, I think you have the right ingredients at the skill positions. I think your tight ends and OPH and Bentancur and Sapp, I think that's a good enough room to win. I think Wesco, TJ Moore, Antonio Williams, Tyler Brown, Tristan Smith is a good enough room to win. And I think a tandem of Adam Randall, Davidson, and the backfield is good enough to win. I don't think your offensive line is good enough to win. And I think that's where, you know, you're baking the cake and it explodes in the oven, to be candid.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's all I got. Hey, Will. Appreciate you checking in.
Today,
yeah, of course. Keep calling back in, man. Keep calling back in. Yeah, I don't think that Clemson has the ingredients. And I thought that they did in the preseason, full transparency. I think the most inexplicable part of the season so far for Clemson is the regression on the offensive line. I don't know enough about football to tell you why it's regressed. I don't, like, from a technique perspective on the O-line, like, I don't know. I know what I'm watching when I'm watching film from like a basic and a general standpoint, right? I know what formations are. I know what alignment is. I know what technique the defensive players are in. I know what the call is, or at least I can identify the call pre-snap a lot of the times on film. As far as like why the Clemson offensive line has regressed, I don't know. Dudes that held their ground last year are just getting mowed over like it's nothing by inferior players this year. Like, is it mentality?
Tune in tomorrow at 10 a.m. when we have former Clemson offensive lineman Landon Walker try to explain it all for us.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. I mean, I think it's the personnel up front, certainly. They're not playing up to their standard. And it's to me, like, yeah, you're not executing in the blocking, but you're not even doing the little things right. You have Blake Miller, who's played more snaps than anybody in a Clemson uniform, having 3 offsides penalties. You have Ryan Linthicum, who everybody's going on 1, but he's snapping it on 2. Like, it's just a disjointed mess on that side of the ball. So, honestly, I don't know if you have the right ingredients or not. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because we've seen the personnel have success, but this year they're just, it's so dysfunctional.
It looks broken.
I don't know. I'm not trying to dodge the question. But it's hard to see when it's pretty successful last year and you come back this year and this, the whole thing is disjointed. I don't know.
And a bunch of people, like, this is a text that I haven't really acknowledged for a couple different reasons this week. I kind of wanted to save it and ask Landon about it as well. But a very frequent theme on the Adams Co-Roofing text line this week has been, okay, so if O-line's the problem, what about Matt Luke? This would be my analysis here. The horse in the water, right?
Correct. Absolutely. He can scream at Harris Sewell until he's blue in the face to get down the line and hit somebody as he's pulling. But unless Matt Luke is putting on the jersey and going to do the pulling himself, there's only so much he can do.
Correct.
You have the most experienced right tackle you've had in a decade at this school who can't seem to get out of his own way. You have guards who just can't stay on the field together. You have a center who's getting put on his butt and play like, I'll render the Matt Luke judgment in about 3 years when Braden Jacobs is a junior.
Yeah, I want to see his guys.
Right, like, he's got, what, 6 guys committed that all the schools in the country want to have? Like, I would like to see Matt Luke bring in his personnel and coach them up.
Yeah. Texter gets in and says QB play is not developed for DJ and now Cade. That appears to be the truth, yes.
But, yes.
And I will say, like, this.
And?
What what's part of like the dumbfounding part of the 1-3 start in this season is that Cade and the offensive line were objectively good last year.
Yeah.
Like by every metric, by every grade, by every stat, by your eyeballs. Like Clemson, it feels like a lifetime ago where Nolan Hoosier kicked that field goal through, and it feels like a lifetime ago where Cade evaded three guys on 4th and 7 and hit TJ Moore in the end zone in Austin, Texas, and all of a sudden it was a 7-point game with 11 minutes left in a college football playoff game. Like, that feels like an entire lifetime ago. And again, I'm watching regression on tape. I'm watching bad quarterback play on tape and missing open guys. I'm watching bad offensive line play on tape. I don't know what happened. I think a large part of this is mental. I think it's hard to articulate it as any other explanation at this point. I think this team put the weight of the world on their shoulders coming into the season, and they crumbled. If you want my objective analysis of the situation right now, again, this is just my opinion. And I don't know how you gauge that or prove that to be the truth or not the truth. But I don't understand. I don't understand the regression from a guy like Tristan Lee, who's in his 5th year of college football, becoming a bad tackle overnight. Same for Blake Miller, who's been terrible this year for his standard. Linthicum has had a couple of the worst games of his career. The guard situation has been a travesty and an absolute nightmare for the Tigers this year. So I think that's the most dumbfounding part of it for me is... you have veterans, seasoned veterans with 3-4 years in the same system, same scheme, that are regressing across the board. And the only bright spot on that side of the ball right now is your converted wide receiver playing running back. Like, it's dumbfounding. It really is dumbfounding for a plethora of reasons. Let's get Snap Hook in here. Snap Hook, we only got about 2 minutes till the top of the hour break, but appreciate you checking in.
No problem, guys. You know, I see a lack of effort. I see just like, guys are just really don't, it doesn't look like they want to be there. You know, I saw Woodaz and I see Sammy Brown, you know, hustling. Maybe they miss some assignments out of position. Some, you could pick on that if you want. But the general look of the team is that they really don't want to be there. So I saw two guys in the game this past Saturday that really had effort and looked like they wanted to be there. That was Tristan Smith and Will Held. And guys, remind me real quick, weren't those guys transfers?
Yep, transfer portal kids.
Appreciate it, fellas. Y'all have a good one.
Appreciate you, Snap Hook. And on that front, again, it's early. We only have 3-4 weeks of data points. Got something interesting that I want to run across. So I'm looking on 247 Sports right now, and I'm looking at the top 7 transfer portal classes. And I'm looking at LSU, Texas Tech, Miami, Ole Miss, Oregon, Florida State, and Missouri. And those 7 teams are a combined 27-0 right now. So, again, those guys had pre-existing talent at a lot of positions, and it's the combination. But yeah, like, I'm objective and I'm honest with you guys. And I don't think that this year specifically, and I will maintain, this year specifically, I'm not sure how much an increased portal usage would have made on the outlook for this football team with the clearly fractured leadership infrastructure and with the lack of effort. Because if you don't have the dogs in the room, it doesn't matter if you bring in more portal kids. But when I look forward to next year and I look at the shape of what the roster could look like, you have to use the portal.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, point blank, you have to use the portal more than you've used it in years past to field a competitive roster.
And I think they will.
I think they will as well.
I think they will.
Yes.
But... just like you're not hearing Kalen DeBoer or Kirby Smart or Ryan Day or anybody tell you their off-season portal strategy on September 22nd and 23rd.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't get mad at Dabo because he hasn't laid out his entire off-season plan publicly for you yet.
Correct. Correct. And, yeah, I mean, like, we've ran through this a lot of different ways, and we still haven't really talked about specific plays in the game, but it doesn't really feel like anybody cares about that, to be completely honest with the audience. Like, Clemson put up a bunch of empty stats towards the end of the game that made the performance look a lot better than it was. And that's my takeaway. You moved the ball when the defense backed off and Jelly went down, or it could have gotten a lot uglier for you. And you got your butt whooped. You got your butt whooped.
You did.
This wasn't a couple plays away, like the first couple of games, which I'll maintain. I think Sweeney was being truthful.
He was right.
He was 100% right. When you lose by a walk-off field goal on a fire drill, that's the definition of being one play away. You can't go down 10-0 before you touch the ball.
No, you can't. Attention to detail and effort. And I think if those two things get cleared up over the bye week and you start seeing some of these guys take ownership for what they put on tape? You know, based on some of the stuff we heard this morning from Colin Sadler and Peter Woods when they met with the media this morning, it sounds like some of that is happening. But then again, actions speak louder than words. You know, my dad always says, what you do speaks so loud, I can't hear a word you say. Words are great. I need to see action. And we'll see that up in Chapel Hill next weekend.
Yeah, for certain. I just need to see effort at Chapel Hill. I don't care if they win or lose. Full transparency.
Same, absolutely.
Win, lose, draw by 20, by 30, by 40, by 50.
If they look energized and they look like they're inspired and they care, I can live with a loss.
Can I watch one of my the players on my team celebrate? Like celebrate a good play and like go hype up a teammate and hit somebody in the helmet? Like
I'd love to see it.
I want to see what Tristan Smith did times 10 and everybody uplifting each other and like participating as a true team instead of a bunch of individuals playing for themselves. Because that's what it's felt like through four games. So that's where I'm at. John, great job on the program today. Nick, thanks for hanging out and interning, doing a great job. Quak and Ben up next with Out of Bounds. See you at 9 a.m. tomorrow, everybody.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 50.